Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time for our final visit of 2018 with our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good.
Very good. Very
ready
well.
For the holiday?
Ready? No. Ready isn't the word.
Okay.
It's a process.
Yeah,
it's
that's a true. Process. That's true.
You know, if you only celebrated the holidays when you were ready, you'd never do it. You just have to, this is all I got done. Let's do this,
that's
right?
That's a good perspective.
Yeah, let's get started here. Yeah, and they always work out.
Yeah.
Well, wait, no, they don't. We just read holiday horror stories. So sometimes they don't get off to a good start at all. Are you ready for the holidays?
More or less.
Okay. All right. Speaking of the holidays, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, this was an interesting poll that I believe was done by Entertainment Weekly. They asked which celebrity or which singer you'd most want to Christmas carol with, and Kelly Clarkson came up the number one choice. Interesting. She does have, a holiday history here. Underneath the Christmas Tree is a big holiday hit and everything. Number two was Lady Gaga. The Beatles were number three. David Bowie was four, and Elvis Presley was five on that list.
Okay, who would be number one on your list, Gary?
To Christmas carol with?
Yeah.
I think, running around with all four Beatles would have to be it. I mean, unless, I don't know, Tony Bennett would have some appeal, too.
Yeah, Tony
yeah,
Bennett.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to sing. That would be the best part.
Yeah. No, I think I'd go along with the Beatles. I just want to, but I'd wear them out over the course of an hour. Just tell me everything that you guys ever did.
Well, sure, yeah.
That's all I want to know. So, speaking of
it has nothing to do with the music itself. It's just the history.
Mate, we're supposed to be Christmas caroling, and you'll be, no, tell me about Yoko.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that wouldn't get old for them in about a second.
Yet. About a minute.
So what about all the records being set? Ed Sheeran, Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple being set along the way here. First of all, it looks like this is a weird one. Ed Sheeran has the biggest tour in the history of Polestar magazine. Okay, so that's 30 years, the biggest tour of the last 30 years, they're saying, and yet I don't quite understand this because U2's 360 tour at $735 million is the largest grossing tour of all time, and that was within the last 30 years, too.
Well,
I'm not sure I understand the distinction here, but they're giving that record to Ed Sheeran and his Divide tour, which, by the way, is ongoing. So they're saying that that's only going to grow and become.
I would take the money, but I feel like other tours have been far more exciting. You know? Women screaming and passing out at stuff like Beatles shows.
Yeah. There's all sorts of measures of this, what's big or not. Guns N' Roses, for instance, news that came out this week was the Not In This Lifetime tour, which has been a 2.5-year epic, is the number two grossing tour of all time, $562 million, again, behind U2. So, it's odd to tell how these things are measured.
Oh, it's like they just sort of appear. Hey, yeah. Guess who's got the new number? Okay. But.
Yeah, kind of like that. Meanwhile, at the box office, as you alluded, Bohemian Rhapsody is now the highest-grossing music biopic.
Right, without ever anyone saying it was very good.
No. Well, you know what's interesting is a lot of people are saying it's very good.
Like
critics are not.
All right.
So it's kind of like the Chevy ad, right? Real people, critics, not real people. But real people are loving it to the tune of $600 million globally right now, and that surpasses Straight Outta Compton, which was the record holder before.
I have talked to a lot of people who have seen the movie and said, oh, man, I loved it. And I thought, yeah, but it's not really historically accurate.
No, but people don't care. Real people don't care about that. They're looking, they love the music. and they like the story. It's kind of a happy, redemptive story. So, you know, so it's getting over. And certainly, you know, in other measures, they've been nominated for a couple of Screen Actors Guild Awards, some Golden Globe Awards. You know, Bohemian Rhapsody now has been viewed on YouTube 1.6 billion times, setting its own record. So, yes. Yeah, we've got. I did bring in Slayer to provide musical accompaniment.
Is that what I'm hearing in the background?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was
the Headbangers.
I thought I was losing my mind. I'm like, what is that tapping? What do you haven't work done at your house?
Yeah. Some repair work. These are the tile guys.
Yeah. What are you redoing? The bathroom, the kitchen?
Three floors of fun. we had a leak.
Oh,
and I don't mean that kind of leak. They might be coming and going over the next few minutes.
Here is something that I'm interested in. Linda Ronstadt has a live album coming out for the first time
she's ever released an official live album in her entire career. Going to come out February 1, Linda Ronstadt Live in Hollywood. Comes from a show she did in 1980 at the Television Center Studios. Oh. This was for an HBO special.
I thought she was crippled by stage fright or had some laryngitis thing or something went
Had issues over the years, but certainly during the early part of her career, she was touring actively.
Yeah.
So this was for an HBO special. This is with a rock band. This is with all those guys we know and love from the L.A. scene, Danny Korchmar, Russ Kunkel, all the familiar names, Bill Payne from Little
The A-Team.
And you'll hear all the big, you'll hear the hits, you know, Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me, It's So Easy, You're No Good, Blue Bayou, and also she was touring on the Mad Love album, if you remember. That was kind of her new wave album.
I don't remember it myself, but
what album was that?
It was called Mad Love, came out in 1980. The big hit was How Do I Make You?
Oh, right. When she was trying to do kind of the new wave.
Yeah, she had kind of a new wave deal.
Right.
Going,
so. Yeah. When she cut her hair and she was wearing weird clothes for a little while, like she was going to kind of do the Patti Smythe thing.
Like a lot of, you know, veteran artists at the time were trying to keep up with the kids.
Right.
It's interesting, you know, that whole career, she's never, ever released a live album. So this is the first one.
How many songs are on this? Do you know?
I think it's a diet. I think it's 16.
So is she just making money while she can? Or?
Well, it's
that I have anything against
this
that.
This could have happened even before the Parkinson's disease and being sidelined. I mean, because, you know, they have done retrospectives and things like that. So, you know, I'm sure somebody in her management and at the record company said, you know what, they were trying to think about what kind of Linda Ronstadt stuff can we put out. Hey, you know, she never put out a live album. What do we got in the vault? And they found this and we're going to get it, which is nice.
Yeah, speaking of, live performances, Mellencamp on Broadway?
Yeah, we're going to get Jack and Diane as a Broadway show.
He doesn't, okay, well, he I was trying to think through his material. I thought, none of it sounds like real Broadway showy kind of stuff.
But what is a Broadway show anymore? I mean, certainly when he gets involved with Broadway people, there will be a Broadway, I'd say, ization.
Yeah. Springsteen doesn't sound like Broadway, and he's on Broadway,
well,
right?
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. Well, that's different, though. That's a whole different trip. But, you know, Mellencamp says this will not be the typical jukebox musical, even though it's going to use his songs to create a story. Hmm. You know, he says he's aiming high with it, which I believe. I've seen the thing he did with Stephen King, the Ghost Brothers of Darkland County. And that was definitely a different kind of stage production. So I can see, this, you know, being something a little different. As to whether it'll be successful or not, you don't know. There's certainly a story in Jack and Diane.
Yeah, that's true.
So that'll be one we'll be watching.
We have our New Year's Rockin' Eve headliner.
We do. Christina Aguilera is going to be the headliner on New Year's Rockin' Eve.
That's a pretty good get for New Year's Eve, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That is. She's on the big end, and she'll be, of course, on the Dick Clark New Year's Rockin' Eve, and that's going to be hosted by Ryan Seacrest, Bastille, Dan and Shay. New Kids on the Block are going to be part of this. Shawn Mendes, Halsey, those are some of the other names part of that. You know, over on NBC, it's going to be Kelly Clarkson, Andy Grammer, and John Legend will be part of that. And on Fox, of all places.
Oh, my God. Sting, how am I going to watch all this?
You know, Sting will be playing on the Steve Harvey hosting that special.
Where are all those... They all want to be around Times Square, right, to see the ball drop.
Right, there are different angles of Times Square. So.
Are they? How far apart are they? Do you know? Have you ever seen this?
Probably like a good, you know, football throw or a baseball throw. They're not that far from each other.
Right, because I would think the sounds smash into each other at some point.
Oh no! Listen, that's so noisy at Times Square.
Yeah, you can't hear anything.
And everything in terms of what you'll hear on TV, everything is so direct.
What about Travis Scott? Part of the Super Bowl. You like
that? Yeah, this is the whole Super Bowl thing remains weird. We, for instance, as much as we're talking about it, we do not know officially that Maroon 5 is doing this. They have never announced it. The NFL has never announced it. And they've been going through this whole thing where they're being pressured not to do it by people who, you know, who want to protest the Colin Kaepernick situation and other issues around the NFL. There are people, you know, about the concussion issues and the NFL's, you know, mistreatment or non-treatment of that. Just, you know, a lot of people hating on the NFL and are pressuring these acts not to perform as part of the Super Bowl. So it sounds like it's Maroon 5, and it sounds like they have gotten Travis Scott, the rapper, to perform with them. Now, you know, Jay-Z already weighed in quickly. He's trying to pressure Travis Scott out of performing at the Super Bowl. So it's really what was once, you know, this prestigious sought-after gig is turning out to be a giant pain in the arse.
Colin Kaepernick hasn't performed in the NFL since 2016.
Well, yeah, but it's still an issue, and, you know, I dare say the collusion thing is going to surface again with Le'Veon Bell in the offseason.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to become, you know, that's all of this. And like I say, the concussion, there are some people protesting, you know, the NFL's, you know, treatment or non-treatment of the concussion issue. There's a change.org petition. More than 75,000 people have signed asking Maroon 5 not to perform at the Super Bowl that they've not acknowledged they're performing at yet. So
I'm betting on the Shield on this one. People will perform for the Super Bowl and no one will care. No one will care if they, you know.
In the end, probably not, but it's certainly taking some of the shine off that.
Hmm.
All right. We're almost out of time. What's our last story of the morning, Gary?
Our last story of the morning should be Black Sabbath. They are going to be among the recipients of the Lifetime Achievement Grammy Award this year. They'll be celebrated at a special ceremony before the Grammys in Los Angeles and then acknowledged on the broadcast. They'll be joined by Dionne Warwick, Sam and Dave, George Clinton, and Parliament Funkadelic, Billy Eckstine, Donny Hathaway, and Julio Iglesias, and Lou Adler, who's a mogul. He co-produced the Monterey Pop Festival, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. He produced Carole King's Tapestry album. He's going to be the non-performer given a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award.
And right. No Spice Girls news? What? We're ending the year
I only saw that Mel B did yet another interview that was apparently, you know, crazy and off the hooks. I have to see what that's all about.
All right, Gary.
Well, text me, call me, tell me.
I will definitely let you know.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
All right.
You guys have a wonderful holiday.
You as well, Gary. We'll talk to you next year.
Sounds great.
Gary Graff, our music expert. You get him every Friday morning here.